Welcome to Move Forward Radio, a show featuring interviews with physical therapists and other healthcare experts. This program is brought to you by MoveForwardPT.com, the official consumer information website of the American Physical Therapy Association. Learn how physical therapists can help people of all ages and abilities reduce pain and improve and restore motion to achieve long-term quality of life at MoveForwardPT.com.
Welcome to Move Forward Radio. I'm Jason Bellamy. October is National Physical Therapy Month, and this October, APTA and MoveForwardPT.com are launching the Fit After 50 initiative, designed to educate and motivate those 50 and older to stay active and healthy. At 78 million strong, baby boomers are, on average, more educated and financially secure than previous generations, but they are also contributing to America's worsening obesity epidemic, which increases the risk of chronic conditions such as heart disease, and in turn increases the demand on our healthcare system. That's why staying fit after 50 is so important, but aging brings forth its own challenges. In the following interview, we discuss some of these challenges with Patrice Winner, the coordinator of the Life Planning Elder Care Program at George Mason University and a practicing physical therapist in Fairfax, Virginia. A baby boomer herself, Patrice is also a spokesperson for APTA's Fit After 50 campaign, and in the following, she discusses the importance of breaking up sedentary office jobs with bursts of activity, the role of balance in long-term health and fitness, and ways you can get involved with the Fit After 50 effort. A reminder that insight from our guest is for information purposes only and shouldn't be used as a substitute for individual treatment by a medical professional. You can find a physical therapist in your area and learn more about National Physical Therapy Month and Fit After 50 at MoveForwardPT.com. With that, here's our interview with Patrice Winner. Patrice, fitness is important at any age, but what are some of the specific challenges that individuals face when they reach their 50s?
The body is incredibly responsive, but it's less forgiving at the age 50 plus. As we head into our second 50 years, we have to be a little more forgiving to our bodies. And, there's changes take place where things get a little stiffer. There's not quite as much fluid in the tissues. And so if we ask it to respond the same way it did when we were 20, it's going to rebel and say, can't do that.
And so when you see patients who are in their 50s, for example, do they tend to have similar wear and tear injuries? Do they seem to have similar conditions, or can it really run the gamut?
It really runs the gamut because, a part of how we are at age 50, part of it is genetics and heredity and what we, the basic game plan we were given. And part of it is what we've done with our bodies. So some people have used them really, really hard and not given them the time and repair that they need. And so there's maybe a little bit more osteoarthritis. And maybe there's spotty injuries, spotty stiffness throughout the body. Someone who has really good genetics and has been very active and very vigilant about, keeping strong and watching their numbers, their blood pressure and their cholesterol and all those things that go into a better product, tend to fare a little bit better. But you hit 50 and there are those times where there is, an event where the body says, can't do that. I see a lot of shoulder. There's low back kind of runs the whole gambit from your teens all the way through. The diagnoses that you would get through each decade are a little different, but the back, that kind of goes along. But former knee injuries, ankle strains, shoulder, elbow, wrist, so in any of the extremity joints, they tend to keep, almost a constant stream of patients for me.
Obviously, one of the things that people in their 50s, many of them have in common is that many of them have been in desk jobs for a good portion of their life.
I'm curious what the toll is on the body of basically sitting. I mean, we obviously understand the toll of being active, the toll of maybe having a job where you're not sitting down and you're using your body, but what's the toll of not using your body very much?
The body was meant to move. It was built and designed. You look at the joints, the cartilaginous surfaces, the articular surfaces, they respond best when there's motion. And so, you know, in your cardiovascular system, the heart is meant to work. It's meant to be activated. And even, you know, how the eyes and the eye movements are incorporated into neck range of motion and balance issues. If you're looking at, you know, at a screen and not moving much, those eyes don't get to stimulate, you know, don't stimulate the back, the body. The arms are going through a very, you know, every joint is going through a very limited range. The heart's not working. So yes, those people that have been in, you know, a very sedentary job position most of their life, hopefully they have taken the time away from their desk time to be active, to get out and move and get their heart going. At any age, however, you have to look and say, if I want to get in better shape, I want to be fit after 50. I haven't done well the last decade. Don't beat yourself up. This is the start point that you're at. And you know, the idea of working with a physical therapist who has the medical background to see, you know, what's normal, what's not. They can guide you into a better physical fitness for that second 50 years.
Yeah, let's use that as an example. Let's use the example of the person who's 50 and maybe they haven't been as active as they want to be, maybe in the last 10 years, maybe in the last 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and they're looking to sort of restart, they're looking to look into the rest of their lifespan. And if they make an appointment with a physical therapist, if they see a physical therapist, what would that first initial appointment probably be like or entail?
I would do a screening, a physical screening, because you need to take into account the bumps and bruises and the injuries and everything that have happened along the way. Our tissues are a little stiffer. The arteries and veins in our body are a little stiffer. So you need to take that into account in setting up a program. Somebody doesn't have to be injured to come and see me. I can, you know, set out a program for them that is unique to their needs. You know, looking at what their cardiovascular status is at our start point now. You know, I have people come in and go, when I was 20, I could run and I could jump. And, you know, I'm not going to start you from that 20 point because at 50, the body has different requirements. I know how the musculoskeletal system ages. I have an understanding of the cardiovascular system, the pulmonary system, the lungs. And I can get a package deal, a unique package deal for the person who comes in to see me that it is so we can avoid injury.
Sure.
And we can get them in a better physical space than they have been in the last few years. Quote, you know, quotes around the few.
Right. I'm curious with those individuals that come in, how much, in your experience, part of the challenge is believing. Part of the challenge is the motivation of being consistent, of making the time to do the things that they haven't done for the past 10 years or 15 years or however many years of in that few, quote unquote.
Often if people come in for a wellness check, or a wellness program or a Fit After 50 program, they have had a medical wake-up call. Either someone in their family or themselves, that there was something like, oh, you know, I found out I really come from a history of, you know, having strokes or I have or heart attacks. I invite them to make some changes in their life, making some choices and saying, you know, you are worth it. Your health is worth investing in. And I think after 50, it's like we have to look at priorities and how does one want to invest their time? And I start people out on a win-win. So it might be that they haven't done regular exercise in years. So we might start with, how about you do 10 minutes three times a week this week? That's it. Just 10 minutes. I need you just to get up and walk for 10 minutes at lunchtime. You know, do the halls, do the stairs, do something, you know, after we do a screening and know that they are physically fit enough to do stairs. Because some folks aren't. They have to start with on the level ground. You know, after it is assessed, we, you know, start them out in win-win. You know, if I say, okay, you got to exercise five times a week, a half hour, and they haven't exercised in years, it's going to be a losing proposition, and they're going to go, it's not worth it. But if you can get people just to start out very gradually and actually see some changes so they can come back in a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, I'll give people something to do and then say, come on back in 2 weeks and let's just take a look, see on where your challenges are and how are you doing, and we can modify the program when you come back.
So obviously having realistic expectations is the first step of that. I'm wondering, beyond that, though, are there typically certain exercises, or maybe activities is a better word, that you find are easier to sort of guide someone into who hasn't been active? So, for example, I'm assuming rugby isn't the first thing that you push them into.
Okay.
So what tends to be successful?
What I try and say is, what did you enjoy doing as a kid? What did you really enjoy doing that was, you know, physical in a little way, you know, it could be that they enjoyed running. So we'll start with walking or hiking. If someone says, you know, I spent a lot of time with my dad gardening, so I'll start them gardening. So gardening is your sport. And how do we warm up? How do we cool down? How do you stretch for gardening? It's got to be something that you enjoy doing. So if I suggest swimming to somebody and they go, I am afraid of the water, I hate swimming, swimming is not going to be one of my recommendations, even though it may be the very best exercise for this person who has horrible arthritis. I have to come up with something that they will embrace and something that they will invest in to take them to the next level of fitness.
Sure, and you mentioned in that walking, you mentioned in that gardening or hiking or swimming. Are there other low-impact exercises or activities that tend to lend themselves well to somebody just starting out?
Yoga, Tai Chi. If somebody's really stiff, I'll start them with Tai Chi. Something that is going to work with balance and proprioception, or where the body is in space. Low-impact, maybe a rowing machine. Something that'll take you through motions of, you know, range of motion for flexibility, and put a little bit of strengthening in it and put a little bit of balance, because that's what we need, balance, strength, and flexibility.
Let's talk about balance. There's a focus on it because maybe at 50 you have balance enough, but in your 60s or 70s you don't, and that can lead to a fall, and that can lead to a more severe injury. How much is balance and working on that actually need to be tied around balance activities or exercises, and how much is balance simply a product of maintaining activity?
More than a third of adults over 65 will fall each year in the United States. And there are, you know, almost 16,000 people 65 of age or older die from injuries related to falls. It is huge that we need to address balance at 50, that those 15 years between 50 and 65 to have people aware if they have balance issues due to, you know, disease, neurological disease, some physical limitations, that they can start to adapt and make substitutions if necessary, but to be aware, that they have a balance issue. Anyone coming in probably over the age of 40, I will check their one leg standing. It is amazing how many people cannot stand on one foot for a minute. And normal is to be able to stand on one foot for 2 minutes. It takes core strength, extremity strength, balance.
I'm curious, when you do that screening and when you're talking about evaluating somebody's balance for a minute or 2 minutes, is the one-legged stand something where they're holding their other foot basically in their hand behind them?
No, it's just picking the opposite foot.
Right.
You know, so they stand on 2 feet. You shift your weight over onto whichever foot you want to stand, and you just lift the other foot off the ground ever so slightly. I'm on faculty at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia, with the College of Health and Human Services. We did a little health screening fair where we looked at standing balance, and it was all ages. And there were 18-year-olds that could not stand for 2 minutes on one foot.
Even though the move isn't all that acrobatic.
No. All you do is stand there and lift a foot off the ground. That is it. That is it. And we looked at grip strength and sit-stand. And across the spectrum, we had people in their 70s who are very active came in. They could stand for 2 minutes. They had good grip strength. And then we had students who, you know, do you exercise 5 times a week? And the answer was no. And in their 20s and 30s, they had poor grip strength and poor one-leg standing, which is going to not bode well as they age. So in our 50 group of what we're addressing today, we really need to look at that baseline of where they are so we can help them, we can guide them into a more productive and healthier second 50 years.
This might be a strange question, but I'm wondering, can someone work on their balance without essentially tackling their entire fitness? So in other words, not that that's the ideal, but if someone essentially doesn't want to exercise, doesn't want to be active, but realizes the risks of not having good balance, can they still do exercises with
yes.
a physical therapist that will help them improve their balance anyway?
Yes. The simplest is standing in front of your kitchen sink and just gently letting your hands rest and doing your weight shift and do one leg stand in front of the sink. So if your balance is poor, you can put your hand down really quickly to regain any balance. The idea of brushing your teeth on one foot, and you could do, you know, one foot and then the other. Standing in the line at the grocery store with the cart, of just very gently doing weight shifts and seeing how long you can stand on one foot. Just, you know, little things that you can spice up your day. And that's what I usually do, is if somebody needs more conditioning before they can get into a more aggressive activity, I'll have them just spice up the day. Because if you're not used to doing a half hour of exercise every day, if you can do little snippets of 5 to 10 minutes throughout your day, it adds up. And over time, you'll see you're feeling better, and I can push it. I can do 15 instead of 10 because it's a win-win at that point.
You mentioned earlier walking or walking the stairs, depending on what somebody's fitness level is. What are other things that somebody could do during a work day if they just had a 10 or 15-minute gap?
A couple years ago, we did a video at APTA of exercises at your desk. It's on the Move Forward PT .com site, and we looked at upper extremity stretching, we looked at sitting postures, looked at balance in front of maybe a standing desk, things to do at the copier to work on balance and flexibility, exercises to do using some TheraBand at the door, so you know you have an office, you could use some elastic band, TheraBand, and close the door and do some strengthening. There are exercises you can do with your feet, you know, putting, you know, balls on the ground underneath your desk to do some exercises and stretching of the bottom side of the foot. There are, you know, those 10-minute snippets of time can be really good for the body.
So let's switch roles a little bit. You're a baby boomer. What do you do to stay fit?
I have my little pedometer on every day, so I like challenge. You know, I like, you know, goals, and so I ideally you're supposed to do 10,000 steps a day, which comes out to about 5 miles. I usually get in about 6. I enjoy swimming. There is a pool on campus, so I will frequent that maybe once a week. I enjoy yoga. I garden on the weekends now that it's so nice out and it's time to transplant things. I spent the weekend in the garden and transplanted. I moved 7 small bushes, not big things, small, because I'm a relatively small person. So I take on what I know my body can handle. And then after the fact, the idea of, you know, a hot jacuzzi is nice, just to give the body some rest after you've asked it to work a little bit. And everything I try to do in moderation so that I don't get sore, so I don't injure the joints.
So tell us a little bit about APTA's Fit After 50 initiative.
We are looking at designing, you know, helping people age 50 in order to learn, you know, how to stay healthy and stay active and prevent injury. And if they need some guidance, the idea of using the help of a physical therapist. APTA has been really good at developing videos on popular activities that boomers may enjoy, like including like yoga and biking and aquatics. And those can be found at moveforwardpt.com/fitafter50. And what we're going to be doing, which is kind of exciting, from October 1st to November 19th, they'll be running out the 50 Days, 50 Ways. It's a social media initiative. And for 50 days, we'll be posting tips from APTA members on how to stay fit after 50. And each day at 10 a.m., people are invited to look at a new tip on Twitter. So it's Twitter at MoveForwardPT, or to look at Facebook, and that would be facebook.com/MoveForwardPT. And there's also going to be a contest during the 50 Days, 50 Ways, and people who share their content on Twitter and Facebook will be entered to win prizes. So it's a really, really exciting time, and I'm feeling, you know, very fortunate to be able to be part of this initiative.
Excellent. So if somebody, you mentioned before that, and kind of touched on the subject, that a lot of people, I think, don't realize that they can see a physical therapist when they essentially don't have an injury, or at least not a serious injury. If you were talking to somebody today who has never seen a physical therapist but is over 50 or about to be 50, they're moving into that bracket, what would your message be about the importance of seeing a physical therapist and how a physical therapist can help them right now, even if they don't necessarily have an injury that they might be aware of?
I have been a physical therapist for over 35 years. It is just part of my core. I so enjoy helping people and analyzing how they move and looking at their alignment and their structure and how their muscles support their structure wherever they are, as far as being fit. And I try and practice what I preach. So my BMI is like 22. I stay active. So when someone comes in and says, oh, I don't know, I would like to, I'm not sure, the idea of working with someone on a one-to-one can be challenging, but it's also very rewarding to both the therapist and the client who comes in and wants to make changes. We are required as physical therapists to do a full screening of all their systems. And we use best evidence-based. So the idea of going into the research, We stay abreast on what's current and relevant and best practice. So how can we lead these people? How can we direct them into making changes that we ourselves have gone into the literature and seen this has worked, but this has worked best, or this has worked better? And the physical therapist has the background to be able to take you from where you are to a little closer to where you want to be.
Excellent. Patrice Winter, thank you very much.
You are very welcome. It's been nice spending time with you, Jason. You take care.
Thank you for listening to Move Forward Radio. Insight from our guests is for informational purposes only and should not be used as a substitute for individual treatment by a medical professional. Learn more about how a physical therapist can help you and find a physical therapist in your area at moveforwardpt.com. For an archive of past episodes, visit moveforwardpt.com/radio.